parts of your mind that nobody cared to ever see. And it feels good for that moment. But then, after that, follows consequences. So those are not always that good. If they are good habits, the consequences are good. If it's bad habits, the consequences are bad. Okay, so now go to the next slide. What happens, though, is the way your chemistry works. What remains in the process of doing it over and over and over is only the cue and the reward. You no longer have to make the decision to take the action and the consequences you don't even care about. It's all about the cue and the reward. By this time now, you're in a habit. You are not thinking anymore. You are just responding to a cue. Let me tell you at this point, the place in your brain, and Dr. V is really the one to be teaching this, the place in your brain, the location in your brain where these habits go and reside is the same place where all addictions are located. It's in the same part of the brain that hosts addictions. That's where habits. That's how strong habits are. So this is the message that's really, really important for us. And I know God is challenging us this morning to have a look at where we are at with our habits. And also, just think about this. When you regress into the area of the lowest functional part of your brain, you are just functioning almost like an animal. I'm not saying humans are animals, but that's how animals do. They get the cue and they react instinctively. That's also called instinct. Okay? So this is not the highest form of functioning for any human being. This is actually probably our lowest form of functioning. It's functioning and responding just on instinct, no matter what else. Okay, so go to the next one. So look what goes away. What goes away is the decision and the consequence. No more decision needed. Decision has gone away a long time ago. Next slide. What you find yourself with now in a state like this is deception, bondage, and addiction. Do you see that? And this is actually how the chemistry of the brain works. Meant for good, but sin entered the world. Satan is distorting all this and helping you to form really bad habits that come real easy to the flesh and is really hard to get rid of. Okay? So we're going to talk about this morning, and then the next slide, I have to go back to this one. But the Word of God, Philippians 4, says, I can do all things. And it says, my God shall supply. I don't want to leave you hopeless with this. All right, and the next one. What we have to do is we have to put the decision back in the action. And all of us can do that. That is a human trait, a quality that the playing field is level. If you're alive and breathing and have brain function this morning, then you are able to put the decision back into the cycle, come up with a new action, and have a reward, but also have a consequence that's for my good. Is that the last one of the cycles? Okay, so let's continue from here. Now you see how a habit actually works. Breaking a habit. Listen, if you look at that slide, here's the truth. Breaking a habit is not what you have to spend your time on. Because breaking a habit will leave you in despair, will leave you disappointed because you focus on the bad habit. It's almost the more you try to break it, the more mental energy you give to it, the stronger that connection becomes. So what is the solution? The Word of God says you be renewed in your mind. You have to be renewed in your mind. So the way to treat a bad habit is to form a new habit, a good one. Now, we talk back and forth. A couple of us taught this in the summer, and we have these conversations back and forth and think, okay, so the bad habit, what happens to the bad habit if you read books? Some people, I've read just this week, some people say, you just get rid of the bad habit, come with a good habit. When you talk to scientists and you talk about the chemistry of the brain, This is not the bad news, but this is how it is in your brain, in the natural, without the power of God. Once these connections are formed, girls, it is so strong. It overpowers everything else. And it doesn't really go away. Here's my case in point. I grew up in South Africa. I learned how to drive on the left side of the road. It was burned in my brain. Keep left, pass on the right. Keep left, pass on the right. So coming to the U.S., I had to learn how to drive on the right side of the road, which is very odd, very complete new habit. And driving becomes a habit, right? So I'm driving in America, and I'm cool with it, and I can drive. And do you know, every now and then, it's like when I speak English, every now and then, just the Afrikaans word, my mother tongue, pops out. And it's like, oh, where did that come from? I was actually thinking in English. But it's like driving, sometimes, it doesn't happen often, but sometimes a little split moment can come that I think, oh my goodness, which way do I have to go? Especially if there's no traffic anywhere and I have these big intersections. I'm like, oh, which side of the car is going to come from again? I just forgot for a moment. But also now I go back to South Africa. I get in my brother's car and it takes me, like, seriously, it takes me one block and I'm back in the groove. Wow. One block. And I'm driving and I'm thinking, oh, this is cool. This is not even hard. It's not even hard. So that old habit, it's driving, all the cues, everything's the same, but that old habit is not erased because I have an amazing brain. But I have to overcome the old one with deciding to bring in a new one and learning how to do the new one, and that is where the power of God comes in. Listen, habits also give open doors to spiritual bondage. A habit is not a spiritual bondage in itself, okay? I'm not saying you all are in spiritual bondage of some sort. But a habit, a bad habit, definitely opens the door to spiritual bondage. And that is where you have to decide, you have to get with God, you have to get counsel, and sometimes, of course, it is necessary for you to get spiritually set free. And it's not enough for you just to, I'm just going to form a new habit on myself. You know, that's what the world teach. And they have some kind of success with it in you know, a different kind of programs that's out there in the world to help addictive behaviors and such. But we know there comes a point where even a decision of your own to make a change or a new habit, it's just not going to be enough. And that is where we have access to the dunamis power of God that works in us, that can help us to overcome. Listen, if God can take your sin away, if God can wash you clean with the blood of Jesus, take your sin away as far as the east is from the west, save your soul, put you heaven bound, this is nothing for God. But we have to tap into the power of God. But it is fascinating to understand how the human chemistry works so that we can get a little passionate about this, that we can get a little bit to a place in saying, I'm trapped in this habit, but I have the power of God in me, and with God and with my brain and my capabilities God gave me, I can overcome this, because there is nothing too hard for God. You can be easily trapped in this and think, I got it from my grandma, my mom was like that, you know, or I just always liked that, or all these excuses for doing the things we do. We have the Word of God that is our mirror, that when we look in the Word of God and we see those things that are not godly, does not honor God, many of those are trapped in this cycle. And this is where we need the power of God to set us free. Listen, the force of good habits. There are many examples I could give you of the force of good habits. Jesus, it says in Luke, he came to the synagogue on the Sabbath, like was his custom. He had a custom. Customs are good. It helps us. A custom or a good habit is not God in the sense that this is my religion. Religion could be a habit, could be religion. Religion could be a habit. But it is a vehicle, it is a door that gets me to God. Good habits will take me to good things. Bad habit is not the devil, but it will take you to the demonic and the bondage, the areas of bondage. There are so many examples in the Bible. Another one I'll mention is David. He prayed 3 times a day. Even in the face of opposition, what did Daniel do? Prayed 3 times a day. He stayed, he stuck with his habit. Your habits will reveal your commitment, your reverence, and your faith. It will reveal that. Okay, studies. Listen to this. Studies on effect of good habits. People who habitually exercise at least once a week, they eat better, they are more productive, they smoke less, they're more patient and at work. They use the credit card less. So exercise and you'll spend less. It's just, it is, we can talk about that a long time. It's a gratification, it's a chemical gratification that comes that opens the door for other victories. Families who habitually eat dinner together, now I know there may be other variables too, but there's definitely truth in this. I thought about this a lot. Families who habitually eat dinner together, the kids have better homework skills, they have higher grades, they have greater emotional control, and are more confident because of that habit of knowing this is a good habit that we exercise. When you make your bed, okay, shall we ask you? No, we won't ask you. How many of you make your beds habitually? Habitually, I'm not looking. Okay, listen to this. Making your bed, those people who habitually make their beds have better productivity, a greater sense of well-being, stronger skills at sticking with a budget. How about this? Let me read you this. Catherine Marshall, she's a famous writer that God spoke to her, amazing woman of God, spoke to her and told her to fast criticism. She had a habit of criticism that God wanted her to change. This is what she says. For the first half day, I simply felt a void, almost as if I had been wiped out as a person. This was especially true at lunch. I listened to the others and kept silent. That afternoon, a specific positive vision for my life was dropped into my mind. Ideas began to flow in a way I had not experienced in years. My critical nature had not corrected a single thing. What it had done was stifle my own creativity. See how important habits are for us to look at it. How about the force of a bad habit? This is how it looks. You go to the movies and you smell the popcorn. You may not even like the popcorn that much, but movies, popcorn, you know? Movies, the cue, popcorn is the reward. No decision or action in there. How about when you get upset, what do? You get upset? Okay, be honest with me. Which room in the house do you go to when you get upset? What? Which part in the kitchen do you go to? Oh my goodness. There's a cue. Boy, there's a great reward. No decision. Horrible consequences. You are a slave to the own chemistry in your brain. How about someone bumps into you, calls you names, disagrees with you? Man, you don't even have to think about that one. It just goes. How about with certain friends? Just slap them. Certain friends, you feel a freedom to tell bad jokes. Other friends, you never think about it. Or say things with certain people you'll never say with other people. You are being led by the chemistry in your brain that is attached to earth and sin that's going to lead to death and destruction. That is why we need to see this and say, God, help me. I am going to put decisions back. I'm going to decide what I eat. I'm going to decide when I eat. I'm going to decide how I eat. I'm going to decide what I say, when I say it, to whom I say it. Nothing is just going to just kind of vomits over everybody and vomits over your own life. That is how we live. when you live trapped in your own habits, you constantly are vomiting over yourself. I'm sorry, but that is, we see the effects of that, and that is putting it mildly, I would say. So this is key for us. Listen to this. How does it go? I stay away from church one time. Ooh, feels good for the moment. I can actually do something else. Maybe you're a busy schedule and you think, I cannot go to girlfriends this morning. I have to go do this thing. And you get it done. You know, you're so happy you get it done. Do you know when you do that one time, like I said earlier, the second time is really much easier. Second time is a breeze. That is why you get periods of sliding in some areas. When you don't pray for one day, the next day it's easier not to pray. That is why, you know, we all have a cycle in how much we pray, but that is why, you know, it's a kind of a long cycle, because there's kind of a slip happening, and how low do you have to go before you're going to wake up and say, this is a habit that is taking me where I don't want to go, so I'm going to put a decision back into it. I say a bad word or gossip one time, the next time is so much easier. I eat a third piece of the pie. One time. The next time, that's history, man. I conquered that. I go to the fourth piece. I leave the dirty dishes in the sink. Some of you are so hyper and, you know, you need to be leaving your dishes in the sink. But for the most part, the rest of us, you leave your dishes in the sink one night, and man, it's just easier. Just easier the next day. You spend too much money. You know, it's a stretch for you to spend the 50 without the husband knowing. Yeah. But once you spend that 50 and man, he didn't notice, it's like good feeling. Next time, the shoes is $70 and you think, well, this is not too bad. It's just 20 over the 50. But you forget it is 70. And you just go to it. Take revenge. How about running away from goals? If you run away from hard times and goals, you're gonna keep running. If you give up on people, if it's easy for you to give up on people, you're going to give up on people more and more and more till you find yourself completely alienated. Bad habits. I'm going to give you the dirty dozen. I'm literally just going to read it. Here is the dirty dozen of bad habits. See what you can identify with. Let's just go through them. Team, just really... Okay, words. Your words, okay, just hang on. Words can be a habit. Attitudes can be a habit. Careless reaction. I don't really care what I say and how I react. I just don't care who's involved. It's a habit. Food abuse could totally be a habit. Man, there is no decision. Substance abuse, no decision. I'm just functioning on chemicals. Six is revenge. Revenge is something that can become a habit and a way of life. Somebody does something to me, I have to do it back. Then seven is passivity. Something goes not my way, so you know what? I'll just sit here. I just won't say anything. I won't cuss. I won't say anything bad, but I'm just going passive. A horrible habit. Okay, passivity, comfort. If you make decisions always, I don't have to deal with that. How many of you have said that? I don't deserve that. I don't have to deal with that. Red flag, you deserve nothing. We deserve to die in hell. And so, you know, don't go with that. And I don't deserve that. Huge red flag. I don't have to deal with that. Well, if you don't have God in you, you don't. But if you have Christ in you, you better. Then number nine is inflict pain. I just want to punch somebody with my fist or with my words. It just becomes a habit that when things are not going my way, when I hurt somebody else, you will know that. Have you ever thought about saying hurtful words? Did you get up that morning and rehearsed it? Say, if my husband or my friend does this to me today, or this person does this, these are the cuss words I'm going to use to tell them off. No. I mean, it come on the moment, and that chemical is waking up in your brain. It finds the path of least resistance, and before you know it, it's set. Okay, next one. 10 is hopelessness or pity. Pity parties. Habits. 11, revert to the past. Have you ever experienced that? Do you know people like that? And when things don't go right, just everything goes back to the past, blaming others. And number 12 is the 12th one is, it's not on there? Okay, the 12th one is a surprise. It's assumptions. Assumptions. Oh my goodness. Assumptions. That's where God needs to help me. I just want to know what's going on. I want to analyze every situation. I just want to know what's coming from where, just to be prepared, right? And that is the trap of that is assumptions, and you know the word assumptions? Yep, that's what happens every time. So, small steps to big results. When what you do repeatedly change, your life changes. Did you hear that? When what you repeatedly do change, your life changes. Number one, don't despise small changes, but be fully convinced. Let's look at that. The Word of God in Romans 4, verse 21. And being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Listen, that jumped out of me when I read that. The question is, are you fully convinced in the power of God? Or are you not? Are you just convinced? Are you just a little bit convinced? Just have a little bit of faith. Just think God just sometimes works and sometimes doesn't. Be fully convinced, because there are small changes that happens that you should not despise and say small changes is not the work of God or the work of faith. Zechariah 4:10, do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. This is key with habits. If you walk away from here, you have a list of 10 things you want to change in your life, you're going to fail before you even leave here. The scientists call this small wins. The scientific word, whenever you read literature on this, you will see that they call it small wins. What is a small win? A small win is the result of a change that is really small at the time. It may not even have anything to do with where you need to win. Like when you make your bed, it's a small win because it literally will give you more control in spending on your credit card. Okay? You don't know these things. Listen, you may not be aware of this, but I could keep you busy. I don't have time. But to tell you how retailers cash in on our habits. Do you know, I will not mention the stores, there is a conspiracy going on. When you use coupons and discount things, do you think the store, owner just woke up one day and said, let me give some stuff away? Nah. They say, let me figure how I can make more money. So they get your information. It's a $1 million department, multi-million dollar department in some of your favorite stores, that there's a group of scientists that all they do is figuring out how to track your spending habits. I heard this story about the dad that got an ad in the mail from one of our big department stores, and it was addressed to his 16-year-old daughter that lived in his house, and it had all baby stuff, prenatal vitamins and baby blankets and diapers, and it had her name on it. And the dad went to the store, and he said, how dare you? What is the matter with you people? She's 16-year-old. She's in high school. Why don't you just send this to her? You need to stop this. You know what happened? She was already pregnant. Do you know when you go into a store, certain things that you spend indicates there's change going on in your life? And do you know also, this is all working in the science of this thing, when you go into a store where you use a credit card, where you use coupons, where they have your information, where they can track your spending, and you buy prenatal vitamins, that's an indicator of something is happening in your life. And psychologically, and with this chemistry of habits, the best time for anybody to try something new is when something's already changing. When life is just like this, but the retailers found this out. That when there's a change, you go on vacation, you retire, you got pregnant, you move, When there's any change in your life, cha-ching, that's when you are more prone to spend on other things also. So, just that on the side. That was free. Just to confirm that there's something going on with us in our habits, and we better know it as girls of God. We better be aware of this. So you know, the store CEO doesn't know more about my chemistry in my brain than what I know myself. So putting back the choice, again, it's when the choice leaves and the habits. Do you know they go as far as figuring out, you know this, where to place items in the store? Case in point, candy at the checkout. You are much more, the gum and the candy, I don't know if it will sell if it's just back there in the back part of the store. So they do studies, they figure out who the people are, who the customers are, what time of the day they come, where do they go. They figure out if you buy a loaf of bread and a container of milk, and then they know then you have kids. So on your path to the milk and the bread, they will put other things that you need for your children. I mean, So anyway, how many of you go in the store for two items and you walk out with a basket? Yes. All right. The journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. Never take that first step for granted, no matter how small it is. You know, listen to this. Bruce Barton, I don't know if you know him, a phenomenal man who was a politician, an author, and a believer. You can read about, he wrote amazing bestsellers and everything. This is what he said. Sometimes when I consider what tremendous consequences come from little things, I'm tempted to think there are no little things. Let me read it again. Sometimes when I consider what tremendous consequences come from little things, I am tempted to think there are no little things. There really are no little things. It's small wins. It's a small step. And one small win opens the door to another win. Small wins create big results at the end. And sometimes you just have to live long enough to figure that one out. So for you young people in here, just trust us. It is the truth. I bought a little plaque that I have in my house, something to this effect, because I'm realizing this. I'm looking back at my life, raising my kids, and those things that are the small things, now suddenly a different perspective, and they were no small things. Small to me at the time, but if they were godly things, it changes everything. Okay, so number two, create new key habits. Okay, here we come. We say, don't despise the small things. And number two, create new key habits. Here's the scripture for it. 2 Peter 1, verse 5 to 8. Add to your faith. Okay, step one, we said, be fully convinced that these small steps will bring you to great results, right? Now you're a woman of faith, but here the scripture says, listen to this. It says, add to your faith. It is not sufficient for us to say, I'm a believer, I believe in God, and my faith, you know, is growing and is amazing. And we stop there. The word of God says, add to your faith. How about a new habit? Read that with me. Add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. To brotherly kindness, love. Add to your faith. Ephesians 4:22 talks about the old man and the new man. It says you don't just put off the old man, but you have to put on the new man. So let's look at habits. Let's have a look at it. Do you know that a new habit, when you form a new habit, we mentioned that earlier, creates the foundation for other things to change, okay? And scientists call that keystone habits. If some habits change in your life, you start doing some things differently in a little way, it has the power to dislodge other habits in your life also. So the flip side of that is, how many of you like for things just to stay the same? Just do whatever you like. Just don't change. Don't change, girlfriends. Where are the tables? Right? Don't change. Don't change the couch. I like this chair. I like the way things are. You are really limiting yourself. Because change is good. Learning a new habit is good. Listen, when you're over 40 years old, girls, over 40 in here, just trust me. You have to learn new habits. Keep the brain going, you know? It's really good. When I got a new computer with a complete different operating system, I freaked out like, how can you work that thing? Is I knew I needed to learn some other pathways in my brain because connections are going to be made that were not there before, and maybe it could just benefit me because I read somewhere that after age of 30, my brain shrinks with so many millimeters a year. It's like, oh, no, not my brain. I'm going to just keep it active. Aging sets in. But anyway, it is good for you, and it is good in more ways than one. Let me tell you why it is good. Here it is. Dieters. Do you know a study has been done on people who diet? Okay. Bunch of people like this were taken that all wanted to lose weight. No new diet, no new food. They just told half of them, record everything you eat. And the ones who recorded everything they ate lost weight. Huge response. Just because now I have to, every time I eat, I have to write. There's the factor that you now see what you eat, but just the habit in itself puts you in a place of discipline where now when you don't want to eat something, it's also easier. Here's another example. In war and in sports, let's take war. Soldiers are trained to respond. Think about pilots. How fast do you think things happen in a fighter pilot cockpit? Like that. There is no time to think. So they have to be trained that when the cue comes, the action goes automatically. There is no time for a soldier to think. So that is why they are drilled over and over and over and over. How about if we can do that in our spiritual walk? Force ourselves into a new habit. When you see somebody ticks you off, red flag goes up to get the good habit going. How mad would you make the enemy on that? And the people who want to get you upset. You know, the bad cue comes and the good habit flows. That is really scripturally for us how we should be living. Okay, here's another example. I need to tell you this. Fasting. Listen, girls. Fasting is a spiritual principle. It's very physical because you don't eat the food. Okay? But something happens when you fast. It takes a tremendous amount of discipline. How many of you have found it real easy to fast? Oh, that is amazing. You have come a long ways and we all want to be like you. No, seriously. But I'm sure it came through discipline. She started 30 years ago. So it is a habit. It is set and it is a habit. Beautiful. It's amazing. So when you fast, though, you may fast for one thing, but just the discipline of the fast and the spiritual obedience of the fast of doing this new habit will bring results into your life and benefits in your life that you didn't even expect. It will make other things easier in your life also. It is just how your brain works. Keystone habits transform us by creating cultures that make clear the values that in the heat of a difficult decision or a moment of uncertainty, we may otherwise forget. Listen to this. Champions don't do extraordinary things. They do ordinary things, but they do them without thinking. Too fast for the other team to react. They follow the habits they have learned. I have another point, but I'm going to close because we need to move on. We have panels and groups. I'm going to close on this point with a story of an athlete. Now, how many of you all know Michael Phelps? Michael Phelps holds 22 Olympic medals, of which 18 of those are gold medals. He has an amazing story and an amazing history. If you look at where he's come from and how he is trained as an athlete, you know, to accomplish all these major things. Listen to this. His coach found out at a young age that Michael had an issue or a problem with getting really stressed before a swim. So the coach set in motion some habits that has nothing to do with swimming. Okay? Nothing to do with swimming. You will see him, if you see him at a meet or at a swim, you will see him before the game. He walks up and down and he's got, you know, the music going in his ears. And if you ask him, what are you thinking? He will say, nothing. I'm not thinking. I'm on autopilot. I'm just following the program. He would say, I'm not thinking. I'm just following the program. What program? The program that is been programmed to follow over and over and over. Before every swim, he plays music to calm him down. After every swim, his coach tells him, go play the video, go watch the video. It's not a physical video. The coach taught him how to go home and play the video in his head of every step. He plays the video, he visualizes how he gets on the block, how he takes his position, how he waits, and when he's on the block, he says the race is halfway done. He's not even in that moment. So when he gets on the block, it's autopilot from there. It's just on what he practices. So he visualizes himself, how he hits the water. Do you know that he counts the strokes that he takes from one end to the other end of the pool? So he knows, I mean, it's like a machine. What exactly what he eats. He starts by getting up in the morning like 2008 in Beijing. He got up in the morning, eats 6,000 calories a day in certain ways at certain times. So he gets up, he goes through his routine, he sits down to eat his breakfast.